decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. I am your squirrel host, coming to you from the ARN studios, high atop the tallest tree in the Piney Woods. It's Friday, January 14th. Good to have you with us here. Friday means we're on the verge of the weekend. The weekend means church on Sunday. And I hope you have plans to go to church if you are able. So, should be a good week at church. Nothing around here that seems to be ready to prevent things after snow for the last couple of weeks and then freezing rain at the beginning of the week, or the middle of the week, which caused the cancellation of some things and life in general. The typical winter weather has been slowing things down. But I drove the junior high girls basketball team up to Plains last night, and the roads were great. And it was above freezing until right before we got back, according to the little dashboard readout. It was right about 31 degrees when I parked the bus. Things were starting to ice up, but it was 37 degrees when I left Plains at 7:30 to come back. So, the girls split. The B squad lost their game, but the A squad held on to win their game. So we had a good. The A squad is the older kids that are the eighth graders and the really really talented seventh graders that are going to be that are feeding into our high school basketball program in the next couple of years. So it's always fun to watch the junior high kids play. Had a good time. The thing I love about these trips are the gourmet dining. Last night I had a corn dog from the Town Pump Deli on the way home. And, you just don't get food like that everywhere. So that's a nice perk, is the gourmet dining. Well, this is Squirrel Chatter, the podcast where we read the Bible and talk about what it says. And Squirrel Chatter is part of the Christian Podcast community. I encourage you to head on over to ChristianPodcastCommunity.com. Check out all the great podcasts over there. They are curated. They are doctrinally sound. It's an ever-growing community with new podcasts being added all the time. Head on over. Check it out. You'll find something worth listening to. And I'm happy to be there as well. Our scripture for today is going to be Genesis 26 and 27 and Mark 10. So just three chapters today, which is kind of nice on a Friday to coast into the weekend after an hour and 20-minute show yesterday. The Theology Thursday episodes are just going to run long. That's just the way of it. I don't think there's any way around that, simply because we have so much to cover on a Theology Thursday, and since we are reading through the entire Bible this year, we're doing more scripture reading on the podcast as well. So that scripture reading time has increased, and then when we get to a Theology Thursday, there's just a lot to cover these doctrines in any kind of depth at all. And I say any kind of depth because any of these paragraphs could be, hundreds of pages in a good systematic theology book. And we're covering them in, 45 minutes. But still, it's good to get into theology and look at these great doctrines of the faith. And help us think through what we believe, because I think it's very, very important to know what we believe and why we believe it. If you know what you believe, but you don't know why you believe it, you don't really believe it because you don't understand it. You simply know what someone else has told you. It may or may not be correct. But when you know what you believe and why you believe it, then you're much more confident and much more firmly grounded and much more able to carry on a conversation about it, which is why I say the main thing about evangelism is understand the gospel, be saturated with the gospel, and then you can, I mean, yeah, it's good to have knowledge of false belief systems. It's good to have knowledge of what the atheists are saying. It's good to have knowledge about what Mormons are saying. It's good to have knowledge about what Buddhists believe and what Muslims believe. Those things can be helpful, but they are not a substitute for a deep, thorough grounding in the gospel. I'd much rather have someone evangelize by saying, you know, by not countering, not disputing their beliefs, but firmly stating your own. And let the Holy Spirit do its job. And that's the main thing. It's not our job to convince people of the truth of the gospel. It's our job to proclaim the gospel. It's the Holy Spirit who does the convicting, not us. So that takes the pressure off. The thing is to be obedient, and proclaim the gospel. The results are up to God. So just relax and share the gospel. All right, let's get to our scripture reading today. We're going to begin with our prayer of confession. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. And now the prayer for the reading of a word. Blessed Lord, who hast caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Genesis chapter 26. Now there was a famine in the land, besides the previous famine that occurred in the days of Abraham. So Isaac went to Gerar, to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines. And Yahweh appeared to him and said, Do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land of which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you, and I will bless you. For to you and to your seed I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath which I swore to your father Abraham. And I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and I will give your seed all these lands, and by your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham listened to my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So Isaac lived at Gerar. Then the men of the place asked about his wife, and he said, She is my sister, for he was afraid to say my wife, thinking, lest the men of the place kill me on account of Rebekah, for she is beautiful in appearance. Now it happened, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out through a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was caressing his wife Rebekah. Then Abimelech called Isaac and said, Behold, surely she is your wife. How then did you say she is my sister? And Isaac said to him, Because I said, lest I die on account of her. And Abimelech said, What is this you have done to us? One of the people might easily have lain with your wife, and you would have brought guilt upon us. So Abimelech commanded all the people, saying, He who touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. And Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And Yahweh blessed him. And the man became great and continued to grow greater until he became very great. And he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and many servants, so that the Philistines were jealous of him. Now all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines stopped up by filling them with earth. Then Abimelech said to Isaac, Go away from us, for you are too mighty for us. And Isaac departed from there and camped in the valley of Gerar and settled there. Then Isaac dug again the wells of water which had been dug in the days of his father Abraham. But the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. And he called them by the same names by which his father had called them. Then Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found there a well of flowing water. And the herdsmen of Gerar contended with the herdsmen of Isaac, saying, "The water is ours." So he named the well Esek, because they quarreled with him. Then they dug another well, and they contended over it also. So he called it Sitnah. Then he moved away from there and dug another well, and they did not contend over it. So he named it Rehoboth. And he said, "At last Yahweh has made room for us, and we will be fruitful in the land." And he went up from there to Beersheba. And Yahweh appeared to him that night and said, "I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your seed for the sake of my servant Abraham." So he built an altar there and called upon the name of Yahweh and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants dug out a well. Now Abimelech came to him from Gerar with his advisor Ahuzath and Phicol, the commander of his army. And Isaac said to them, "Why have you come to me, since you hate me and have sent me away from you?" Then they said, "We see plainly that Yahweh has been with you." So he said, let there now be an oath between us, between you and us, and let us cut a covenant with you, that you will do us no harm, just as we have not touched you, and have done to you nothing but good, and have sent you away in peace. You are now the blessed of Yahweh." Then he made them a feast, and they ate and drank. In the morning they arose early, and each swore to the other. Then Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. Now it happened on that day that Isaac's servants came in and told him about the well which they had dug, and said to him, "We have found water." So he called it Sheba, and therefore the name of the city is Beersheba to this day. And Esau was 40 years old, and he took as his wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and also Basemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite. And they brought bitterness to Isaac and Rebekah. Chapter 27. Now it happened that when Isaac was old and his eyes were too dim to see, that he called his older son Esau and said to him, "My son." And he said to him, "Here I am." And Isaac said, "Behold now, I am old, and I do not know the day of my death. So now, please take up your gear, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and prepare a savory dish for me such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, so that my soul may bless you before I die." Now Rebekah was listening while Isaac was speaking to his son Esau. Then Esau went to the field to hunt for game to bring to Isaac. But Rebekah spoke to her son Jacob, saying, "Behold, I heard your father speaking to your brother Esau, saying, 'Bring me some game and prepare a savory dish for me, that I may eat and bless you in the presence of Yahweh before my death.' So now, my son, listen to my voice, as I command you. Go now to the flock and get for me two choice young goats from there, that I may prepare them as a savory dish for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall bring it to your father, that he may eat, so that he may bless you before his death." Then Jacob answered his mother Rebekah, "Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. Perhaps my father will feel me, then I will be as a mocker in his sight, and I will bring upon myself a curse and not a blessing." But his mother said to him, "Your curse be on me, my son. Only listen to my voice and go get them for me." So he went and got them and brought them to his mother. And his mother made a savory dish such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her elder son, which were with her in the house, and she put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the young goats on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. She also gave the savory dish and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. Then he came to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" And Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Rise up, please, sit and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." Then Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because Yahweh your God caused it to happen to me." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near, that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob came near to Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him, because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, "Are you really my son Esau?" And he said, "I am." So he said, "Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's game, that my soul may bless you." And he brought it near to him, and he ate. He also brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Please come near and kiss me, my son." So he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his garments. And then he blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which Yahweh has blessed. Now may God give you the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth, and an abundance of grain and new wine. May people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master of your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be those who curse you, and blessed be those who bless you." Now it happened that as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had hardly gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. Then he also made a savory dish and brought it to his father and said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that your soul may bless me." And Isaac, his father, said to him, "Who are you?" And he said, "I am your son, your firstborn Esau." Then Isaac trembled exceedingly violently and said, "Who was he that hunted game and brought it to me, so that I ate of all of it before you came and blessed him? Indeed, he shall be blessed." As Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me also, O my father." And he said, "Your brother came deceitfully and has taken away your blessing." Then he said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing." And he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" But Isaac answered and said to Esau, "Behold, I have made him your master, and all his fellow brothers I have given to him as servants, and with grain and new wine I have sustained him. Now as for you then, what can I do, my son?" And Esau said to his father, "Do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me, O my father." So Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac his father answered and said to him, "Behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall be your habitation, and away from the dew of heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and your brother you shall serve. But it shall be when you become restless that you will break his yoke from your neck." So Esau bore a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." Then the words of her elder son Esau were told to Rebekah. So she sent and called her younger son Jacob and said to him, "Behold, your brother Esau is consoling himself concerning you by planning to kill you. So now, my son, listen to my voice and arise. Flee to Haran, to my brother Laban. Stay with him a few days until your brother's wrath subsides, until your brother's anger against you subsides, and he forgets what you did to him. Then I will send and get you from there. Why should I be bereaved of you both in one day?" Then Rebekah said to Isaac, "I am tired of living because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes a wife from the daughters of Heth, like these from the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me?" Mark chapter 10. And standing up, he went from there to the region of Judea and beyond the Jordan. Crowds gathered around him again, and according to his custom, he once more began to teach them. And some Pharisees came up to Jesus, testing him, and began to question him whether it was lawful for a man to divorce his wife. And he answered and said to them, "What did Moses say? What did Moses command you?" And they said, Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away. But Jesus said to them, because of your hardness of heart, he wrote for you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. And in the house, the disciples began questioning him about this again. And he said to them, whoever divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery against her. And if she herself divorces her husband and marries another man, she is committing adultery. And they were bringing children to him so that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter into it at all. And he took them in his arms and began blessing them, laying his hands on them. And as he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and began asking him, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandment, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. And he said to him, teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth up. And looking at him, Jesus loved him and said to him, one thing you lack, go and sell all your possessions and give it to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. Come, follow me. But at these words he was saddened, and he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. And Jesus, looking around, said to his disciples, how hard it will be for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were even more astonished, saying to him, then who can be saved? Looking at them, Jesus said, with people it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. Peter began to say to him, behold, we have left everything and followed you. Jesus said, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, except one who will receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. And they were on the road going up to Jerusalem. And Jesus was walking on ahead of them, and they were amazed. And those who followed were fearful. And again he took the 12 aside and began to tell them what was going to happen to him. Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and will deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And 3 days later he will rise again. Then James and John, the two sons of Zebedee, came up to Jesus, saying to him, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, what do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, grant that we may sit, one on your right and one on your left, in your glory. But Jesus said to them, you do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And they said to him, we are able. And Jesus said to them, the cup that I drink you shall drink, and you shall be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized. But to sit on my right or on my left, this is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared. And hearing this, the 10 began to feel indignant with James and John, and calling them to himself, Jesus said to them, you know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. But it is not this way among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Then they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazarene, he began to cry out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And many were sternly telling him to be quiet. But he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him here." So they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, get up, he is calling for you." And throwing off his outer garment, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered him and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni, I want to regain my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has saved you." Immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. This is the word of the Lord. Now the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now the collect for grace. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings may be ordered by thy governance to do always that is righteous in thy sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, I don't have a topic today. I didn't prepare anything to talk about after the Bible reading today. Several things in the news of interest. The Supreme Court did strike down President Biden's vaccine mandate for private businesses yesterday. That was good news for freedom-loving folks everywhere. Let's see. When I got home last night, we have a near our house here, there's a one-lane bridge and to cross the river, and it's one of the, to get on the other side of the river, you cross here at our exit with the one-lane bridge, or you have to go to Superior, which is west of us, and get off in the Superior exit to cross the bridge, which is, I think, eight, 9 miles that way. And then it's like 8, 9 miles the other way to the next exit to cross the river and get on the other side. So these are you have to go a long ways to cross the river either way. But this is a one-lane bridge, one of those old girder bridges, you know, open girder bridges. I don't know what the technical term is, but, you know, it looks like something out of the 19th century. I think it was actually built in the 1920s, but it's a one-lane wooden deck bridge. They have to replace the wooden deck about every 5-6 years, it seems, because it just gets beaten down by the traffic. It starts splintering and stuff. It's a nice little bridge. It's very picturesque. A lot of the Superior High School senior portraits have been taken on that bridge. And it's always fun to see those pictures come up on the yearbook and go, huh, I know where that is, because it's just a mile or so from the house here. And we do not have to cross the bridge when we get off the freeway. We're between the freeway and the river. But a lot of people live across the river to the other side. Several times in the 20 years I've been living here, I can think of four times specifically. It's probably been more than that, but four times specifically. Semi-trucks have tried to cross that bridge. Now, there are multiple warning signs as you approach the bridge. First, you know, they give the exact lengths, no vehicles over this length, no combination vehicles over this length, no trailers over this length. Basically, a pickup with a boat would be fine, but there's no way a semi is going to get across there. There's a hard 90-degree turn at each end of the bridge. You go down the hill, you turn 90 degrees, you cross the river, and you turn 90 degrees and go up the hill on the other side. And it's nothing. A semi is not going to make that turn onto the bridge. And, of course, it's very narrow. And so several times semis have gotten stuck there. So there, like I said, there's a sign that gives it, you know, no vehicle above this sign. Then after the last semi got caught there, they put up a big no semi trucks beyond this point. And it occurred, I'm a truck driver. I have driven these big rigs and I know you can't cross that bridge. And, well, apparently when I got home last night, I pulled off the freeway and I saw a big wrecker sitting on the side of the road. And, of course, can't see the bridge from there. He was just right on the side of the road. I think he was waiting his turn because there was going to be a multi-wrecker situation, one for the trailer, one for the semi. I get home, and I look on Facebook, and sure enough, somebody tried to cross that bridge in a semi and got stuck because you can't make that corner. So I'm sure if I go down that way today, I will see damage to the rails and stuff on the fence again, like I has been in the past. But, you know, it struck me as I was thinking about that we really should read the road signs. Those road signs are not usually there as suggestions. When a sign says no semis beyond this point, they probably mean it. It's tough to turn a semi around. It takes a lot of room. There are places you don't want to be in a semi. I remember, and a lot of it's following GPS. And I remember being in a neighborhood in Calgary. I wasn't following GPS. I had actually gotten directions to my customer where I was supposed to drop off my load. And I'm following these directions, and I get into a one-way, or not a one-way, but a no-exit, no-exit residential street. And, of course, I'm facing the wrong way. And my business was not on that street. The directions were entirely wrong. This wasn't a case of me trying to trust the GPS. This was me trying to follow the client's directions to their location. And I had to back my semi out of that street with basically cars parked on both sides of me and maybe 2 feet on either side of the semi. So I had to back that 53-foot trailer up and I was able to back out. And There was a driveway at the end of the street where the street curved that I was able to kick my trailer up into that driveway and actually make the turn and pull back out onto the street. But it was an adventure. And I have thought multiple times going down that hill and seeing that bridge in a semi, what would I do? and I would back up the hill. Hopefully the weather would allow that. It was last night, it was just wet, so that would have been possible if the driver had had the skill to back up that hill, which he ought to if he's driving a semi. The backing skill is probably the most important skill. Anybody can drive a semi straight down the highway. If you're a licensed driver, I have no doubt that you have the ability to drive a semi straight down the highway. The skill of driving a semi comes in when you have to back up or when you have to turn in tight quarters where you need to know, you know, where your trailer is and everything in your mind. You have to have that spatial relationship worked out in your head so that you know what's happening. Guy tried to cross the bridge last night, and I remember coming home one time from the school, and quite often I'll take that back road into town to go to the school, so I'll cross that bridge. If the weather's good, if the roads are good, I've been using the highway the last few weeks because the road is better than the back road, but I was coming back from town, and I got to the top of the hill to the turnoff to the bridge, and they had a flagman there, and I said, "What's going on?" He said, "Oh, they had a semi try to cross the road," and I see, and about that time, a tow truck came up the hill with the cab. He had been far enough out on the bridge that the easiest thing to do was to unhook the trailer and bring the cab on across the bridge. Well, I drive the 10 miles to the next crossing and cross over and get on the freeway and come back to come home. And when I get back, I realize that it was a guy actually pulling doubles. And because I saw on my side of the bridge the two trailers. So he had gone down that hill with a semi and a trailer and a pup trailer on the back. So he had a semi with a full-size trailer, and then he had a 25-foot trailer on the back. Oh, that was a scary thing. Because those are hard to back up. You can do it, and I've seen guys who have some good skills backing up doubles. But you've got your articulated, and it doesn't back up the way a single trailer does, and you have to actually steer the back trailer with the front trailer, and you have to steer the front trailer with the truck. And that's why most of the times if they've got to back the back trailer up to a loading dock or something, they unhook it from the front trailer, hook their tractor up to the back trailer, and then just back up the back trailer, and then they hook it all back together before they leave wherever they're at. The doubles are handy for hauling a lot of stuff, but they're not a rig you want to try to back up at all. So somebody got stuck there on the bridge last night, and I didn't get any pictures. I didn't even know about it till I got home. I had just thought the wrecker had pulled off the freeway to do paperwork or something, as they often do. Maybe he was taking a break. Maybe he was waiting for a call. I figured he'd, you know, maybe been dealing with something up on the pass, which is we've had a lot of semi wrecks this year. Now I understand there's a massive shortage of drivers, and I know that's true because the company that I used to drive for keeps calling me. And I keep getting offers and cash awards for coming back and everything. And there are times when it's tempting because the money's good. But there's a shortage of drivers right now. A lot of the guys my age and older are retiring from the trucking field. And so there are not a lot of younger guys coming into the field. And I got to tell you, I'm going to give you a little bit of career advice. If you're a young man and You like to travel. You're not married. It's tough being a family man on the road. It's possible. It's definitely possible, but I didn't start trucking until my daughter's senior year of high school, so I didn't deal with a lot of that. But even with just Mrs. Squirrel and I, you know, it was tough to drive out of the driveway after being home a few days, knowing you're going to be gone a few weeks. It's one thing if you do it every once in a while, but when you're doing it every couple of weeks, come home for a couple of days and then you're back on the road again for a few weeks. Love being out on the road. Had no problems being out on the road. The problem was leaving home after coming home for a few days. And that was always the time that it was tough. And the last time I left the house, I left the house and picked up my load, and I was actually heading to where my home terminal was with this load. It was delivering there, so when I got down there, I went in and talked to my driver manager and said, you know, I think I'm done. I think I'm done. It was hard to leave the house. And I had the opportunity to hang it up, and so I did. But there are times I miss it. It was a good life. The money's certainly good, and if you're a young man, I would point you that direction. It's a good life. Just be sure to eat healthy, you know, get exercise, because you're spending a lot of time just sitting there staring down the highway. I've seen some beautiful country. Unfortunately, when you're in a semi, you can't just pull over and look at stuff. And usually you're on the clock because you're only allowed to drive 11 hours a day. And that's where you make your money, because you're paid by the mile. And so those 11 hours when you're working, once that clock starts, you know, if you get to the end of your 11 hours, you have to take 10 hours off. And actually there's 14 hours. You can't drive after you've been on duty for 14 hours. So even if you haven't driven your 11 hours, if you ended up sitting somewhere for 5-6 hours because of some problem or waiting for a load or something, once that 14 hours hits, you have to take 10 hours off. You have to take 10 hours off. You have to park your truck and do nothing for 10 hours, sleep, eat, obviously get a bath, whatever. But you have to take that 10-hour break. So I would be driving through towns where friends of mine lived, and they, you know, I'd call them up and say, hey, I'm driving through, you know, and they're, oh, great, can we get together? No, sorry, we can't, because I'm not stopping. I just, you know, I knew you lived here, and I was thinking about you, so I thought I'd give you a call, but I can't stop. Now, there have been times that I've been at truck stops in towns where I knew people, and I call them up and we get together for dinner or something like that. And that's nice to do during my 10 hours of off time. But a lot of times you're just driving through, and you'll drive past stuff that you want to stop and look at, and you can't stop because you're on the clock. And you drive past places where you'd love to go do something, but there's no truck parking at that exit. You know you don't want to get off the highway there. Trucks have their own specific, you know, their own specific environment that you don't want to take them out of, because they're not passenger cars. They don't fit places. Last time I was on the road, I got very, very familiar with Uber and what's the other one? I can't think of it. But the rideshare things, because you have to go to the store. You can't take your truck to the grocery store unless, of course, you're delivering there. One advantage, I drove Walmart trucks for a while, and that was kind of nice because I'd end up being at a Walmart, so I could do any shopping I needed to do while I was there, while they were unloading my truck. That wasn't too bad. But yeah, so anyway, read the road signs. Know the size of your vehicle, and if you see a sign that says vehicles that big aren't allowed, think heavily about going further. I feel sorry for that guy that got stuck down there. I imagine there's some sort of fine. I know there's all the towing fees and stuff, and I'm sure his company is not happy with him. But I imagine there's some sort of legal fine, because they blocked that bridge for hours. And like I say, that's the only crossing for 10 miles either way. And there are a lot of people who are trying to go home or trying to go to the store or whatever that use that bridge. And because there are a lot of people who live up the drainage on the other side of that bridge. And of course, that gets to the road on the other side of the river. And so I'm sure there were a lot of people trying to go places that they came off the freeway, and here was the bridge was blocked. It's a one-lane bridge. So they had to go 10 miles either way to get across there to get their way home. That's kind of annoying. But so I imagine there's some sort of fine involved. I don't know what it would be, but I just can't think that there wouldn't be. So read the road signs. All right, it's Friday. Make sure you go to church on Sunday. If you can't go to church on Sunday, why not? You know? I saw a meme the other day, and it was these guys sitting in a football stadium, obviously an NFL game, and they are just encrusted with snow and ice and the whole crowd, because it's just obviously a bad weather game. Who knows, Lambeau Field in Green Bay or something. You know, maybe Buffalo, New York, something. It's a serious winter game going with an outside stadium. And here are these people sitting there covered with snow and ice watching the football game. And the caption was, "But you can't go to church." We make an effort to do the things that are a priority for us. And church, if you are a Christian, church should be a major priority for you. Make plans to go to church. The only exception is if you are unable to go to church. Now, around here, you know, we've had church shut down because the roads were too icy, but in 15 years as a pastor, I think we had two weather-related no church days when it was just not safe to go to church. We had another no church day when our furnace was out and it was just too cold in the building because we didn't have another source of heat or anything. But, you know, so that might be three if you count the furnace being out as a weather-related event. But there are reasons not to go to church. If you're sick, stay home. But for the most part, for the vast majority of the 52 Sundays out of the year, you should be at church. You should be fellowshipping with the saints. You should be sitting under the preaching and teaching of the word, sitting under the discipline of the elders. Yes, go to church. This should be a priority for you. Make it a priority for you. Fathers, get your family to church. It's we need more men in church. We really do. So get your family to church. Read and study your Bible. Enjoy your weekend, man. We got a bunch of NFL games this weekend. It's the wild card weekend. This is a weird season for the NFL, and I've just gotten back into following NFL. I didn't follow it for a couple of years with the whole kneeling thing and then all the woke stuff. It just kind of turned me off, but I've gotten back into the second half of this season. I kind of got back into watching NFL and following the games and stuff, which is really funny because my Atlanta Falcons were never really in it this year. They were technically still in the hunt up until a couple of weeks ago when they were eliminated, but anybody that watched them play knew they were not a playoff team this year. Hopefully next year. Sounds like Matty Ice is going to be with us one more season at least. He's not talking about retiring, so that'd be good. He's still got it. If we can put together the weapons that we have, the Falcons could have a good season next year. They've got the talent, just for some reason they haven't been able. That's been the story of the Falcons my entire life. They've always had the talent, they just haven't been able to put it together. And I don't know why that is. I don't know if it's coaching. I don't know if it's something to do with the ownership and the community, the culture in Atlanta. I don't know. But they've just never seemed to be able to put it together. That they've always had the talent. So we'll see. We'll see what next year brings. But yeah, lots of NFL games this weekend. Looking forward to that tomorrow and Sunday afternoon and then Monday night. But I'm not going to skip church for NFL games. Church is the important thing. Make sure you get to church. All right, well, do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not to do. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. And we'll see you again here on Monday for another week of Squirrel Chatter. I'll be marking off week 2 on our checklist. Take care. God bless.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.